Good to see all of you here at God's house this morning. If you would turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter. And when you find it, please stand. Let's read God's word this morning, if you can. 2 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And though covetousness, shall they be frayed words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that I have, Lord, to stand up here behind the desk this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that your words would go out, Lord. I pray that your hearts would be opened here this morning. And Lord, we will give you the praise that you so rightly deserve. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Have you ever heard the story about the man that was homeless and he was out of work and he was hungry, and it had been a couple of days he hadn't eaten anything. And so he was in a city, and he's walking down the street. He's seen a sign that said, work, and it's just for today. He said, work just for today. So he goes inside and he asks him about it, and he says, you know what? You know, I am hungry. He said, I need money to get something to eat with. He said, yeah, I'll do the job. And they told him, well, there's just one catch. You have to dress up like a gorilla and be in our zoo. And they said, okay. He said, okay, well, why is that for? He said, because our gorilla is sick. And we have a big Girl Scout convention coming through here. And he said, we need to have a gorilla. So he said, fine. He said, I'll do it. So he gets on the costume. He goes out and he stands in where the gorillas stand. And he's out there, and he's standing there, and his people start coming by. So he starts trying to make sounds like gorillas, and he tries to do all that kind of stuff to make it look like he's a gorilla. Well, lo and behold, one of these Girl Scouts throws him a cookie. And he's starving to death, so he eats the cookie, and he says, I know if I do more tricks, I'll be able to get more cookies. So he starts jumping up and down, beating his chest, and they start throwing cookies. And he gets on a rope, and it's a swing rope, and he starts swinging. And he's swinging as high as he can, and they keep throwing cookies. All at once, he slips off the rope, and he falls over into the lions, where the lions are at. And he's over there, and he realizes where he's at, and he starts screaming and running and yelling, trying to get out of there. And all at once, the lion comes up, puts his paw on him, and said, if you don't shut up, you're going to get us both fired. I said that to say this. Bear with me. I say that to say this. There are imposters everywhere. Amen? There are. There are imposters in all realms of life that we are in. There are. There's just no doubt about it. I'm here to tell you, and as Peter is writing here in the second chapter of 2 Peter, there's definitely imposters in the churches. Amen? That's what he's saying right there. Peter is talking about those who wave the banner high. They claim to wave the banner high. They have the outfit on it, so to speak. But on the inside, they don't possess what they're saying that they possess on the outside. You know what? Beware false prophets, which come in you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You see, there is a growing predominance in the churches today. There's growing predominance in false teaching in the world today and of false prophets. I had what got me thinking, I told Jamie this morning, because Wednesday night I could barely talk. I barely could. You probably, some of you are saying, man, Lava, I wish I'd held on. But no, I could barely talk Wednesday night. I told Jamie, I said, be ready, because Lord willing, you may have to preach Sunday morning. Jamie was ready. Lord willing, he will be preaching this evening for us. But I told him whenever he come in this morning, I believe this is something that every preacher should hear. This is something that every teacher should hear. This is something that everybody that goes to church should hear. It says in the last day there will be false prophets. And brothers and sisters, we need to be aware of it. We have to be vigilant. We have to stay alert. We have to, brothers and sisters, be aware of these false teachers. And most importantly, and I want to say this, and you guys know this, I know you have, you have to recognize when there are good teachers and when there are good preachers, and you have to recognize this. Do you know what they tell me whenever they send these people to the National Treasury to go to check about, you know, counterfeit $100 bills or $50 bills? You know what they make them do? They make them study the real thing. Amen? They make them study the real thing. So when they see something that is bad, when they see something that is false, they'll know what the real thing is. They'll know what the false thing is. I'm telling you, if you, we want to know what the real thing is, not just the preacher, but you and I must study the Word of God and know exactly what it says. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is a real thing, and it's what I'm reading to you this morning. Amen? It's what I'm reading to you this morning. Let's delve into the Scripture this morning. I'm going to take this verse by verse, and I encourage you this morning to do something for me. There's going to be some words we're going to talk about here, and I encourage you to underline them and go home and study them and see if I'm not telling you the truth. To begin with, right off the bat, look at verse 1. Notice there were always been false teachers. Always. What's it say there? But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. There always has been false prophets and false teachers. It's nothing new. If you go back in the Old Testament, you look back here whenever in Jeremiah's day there were false prophets. If you go up through, there were false prophets in David's day. If you go on through the Bible in the Old Testament, there have always been false prophets. Don't for one minute think that this is something new just to our generation. It's not. They may have more avenues by which to get it out there, but I'm here to tell you this morning, there have always been false prophets. Peter is saying, just like in the Old Testament, what he says there, but there were false prophets also among the people. What he was talking about was the children of Israel. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now I want you to study something else there and look at the word. I want you to underline the word among. Because you know what it's talking about there? It's not talking about somebody that's on the outside world. It's not talking about that. It's saying they will be among you. Did you get that? That's what Peter is saying. He said, they will be among you. And that's not somebody that's out here. That's somebody that may be studying in the church with you today. That may be some out of the church. I don't know. I'm just here to tell you. They will be among you. Paul wrote this over in 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. But there were false prophets. There were false prophets among the people then. There's going to be false prophets among the people today. It is nothing new. We are the ones that have to be aware how and what they're trying to teach and to preach to us. Look at the word privately. I want you to underline that. This word, whenever it says it there, listen, it says, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. You know what privately means? It means it lay along beside of. Do you know what they do? You know what they do? They'll mix the good and then mix the bad with it to intertwine it to make it sound like it's good. That's what privately means. It means that they will try to interject. They are trying to interject falsehoods in amongst the stuff that is good. That is good. You know what? Listen, they will teach or preach some doctrine that is cleverly infused with false teaching. That's what privately means. It says, and it said here together, they will probably shall bring in damnable heresies. Underline the word heresies. You know what it means? Division. That's what it means. Look it up and see if I'm not telling you. Satan is great at that. He is great at that. But is it, Peter goes on to say, heresy. Listen to me. They bring in damnable divisions. You will see heresy is not just someone simply, not just someone simply has a false theology, but with their theology, they want to divide. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they got a hobby horse that they like to ride. Amen? They got a hobby horse that they like to ride. If I got up here every week and hammered you about the same thing every week, that's a hobby horse that I like to ride. That's what he's talking about. They bring in damnable heresies. It may not be altogether false doctrine, but they want to pound and drive it home to the point to where they try to divide the church. That's what it's about. That's what he's saying. They have a divisive theology. And he said, and let me stop and hammer on this point just for a minute. I want to do that just for a little bit. They have a divisive theology. I have known individuals, Alita, you probably know these down to you, who are orthodox in their faith. Amen? You know these people. They're very orthodox in their faith, but have become divisive in their stand for that faith. They have. That's what he's talking about whenever he says you've got the damnable, they mix it in and bring in damnable heresies, trying to divide. They decide they've got a pet issue. They've got a pet issue that they're going to constantly hammer at. Whenever you do that, whenever you see anybody doing it, whether it's somebody back behind his pulpit or whether it's somebody teaching it, I'm here to tell you, beware. Beware. They've decided that. And you're saying, preachers had a problem at Drifter in church? I'm not saying that. Sean, what is the best way to make sure your vehicle stays running good? You do preventive maintenance on it, don't you? We found that out with Brian's car, didn't we? Brian had a little Kia. After 60-some thousand miles, you're supposed to change the timing belt. Brian didn't do it. The timing belt broke. That was part of the preventive maintenance. That's what I'm saying here this morning. As a church, what I'm trying to preach to you this morning is preventive maintenance. Not that it's going on here, not that it's something that's happening, but I'm here to tell you if we are not careful, it'll come in here and it will be pounded home. Amen? And we've got to be aware of that. I'm not saying that it's going on now at all, but I want you to know we have to beware. Beware. And either preachers or teachers, and it becomes divisive, praise God, I want you to know we have to understand that. We have to keep on top of that. We have to be aware of it. They'll continually harp on something. And if you don't believe it the same way that they are, if you do not believe it, I've been with teachers, I've been with preachers before, that if you did not believe it the way that they believed it, it was an Elijah and the prophets of Baal moment. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Who's for me? You're over here. Who's against me? You're over here. And don't care about what happens to the church. Amen? You see, whenever we get on that hobby horse, whenever we get on that thing that we want to drive home so bad that we're willing to hurt people, that is divisive. That is heresy. And we must beware. Be careful of that. Be careful of it. I'm just here to tell you this morning. Be very careful. Be careful when they try to make it that way. And those who don't believe it, you know what? The ultimate test of a false teacher or preacher, this is the ultimate test, is whether or not they are divisive. Whether or not they're willing to divide just because of their pet issue. They're also the false in their message or teaching. Listen, when the United States, I told you how to get $100 bills right or not. You go look at the real thing. Listen to me. If you study the Word of God, study to show thy prayer. Whenever I stand up here, I've got to tell you something this morning. There are preachers that will stand up on Sunday morning and never open their Bibles to preach out of. Amen? They want to give a book report. They want to give a thought of the day. They want to give something else. I'm here to tell you, can I be honest? This is Dave Long's opinion. That's not preaching. Amen? That's not preaching. That's doing something other than doing what the Word of God. Whenever whenever Paul told Timothy, what did he tell him? Did he tell him to give a thought for the day? Did he tell him to give a book report? You know what he said? He said, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into ungodliness. If they were teaching or preaching, I'm here to tell you they need to get rid of that stuff. Listen, Paul didn't tell Timothy to preach the thought of the day. He didn't tell him to give a book review. Paul told Timothy, he said this, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I hope and pray that as long as me and Jamie and the teachers are up here teaching, I hope and pray that we can exhort. I hope that we can reprove. I hope that all that happens because that's what God's will is for a church. I'm going to tell you, listen, let's just go on here for a minute before I get. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reasoning of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Many, it says, will follow their pernicious ways. Why? Because they want their ears tickled. I'm just going to be here. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. That's why the people follow that. That's why that is the longer we become down this road towards Jesus Christ coming back, you will see more and more and more people. Can I tell you something this morning? Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me this thought. The church is not like consumable goods. You get what I'm saying? The church is like a family. Amen? Okay, what are you saying, preacher? Okay, what do you do with consumable goods? When you're tired of something, you cast it aside, right? You go to something better. Parkersburg's littered with churches that had the next and brightest and best come through. Amen? I'm here to tell you, they're littered with churches up there that had some preacher come in like a whirlwind. What happened after he left? Don't think I'm right? I could name off a handful of them. I'm here to tell you right now, pernicious ways. We cannot be caught up in that. Whenever it says there, it said, but there will be false prophets. That's what will happen. And many shall follow, and through covetousness shall they with frayed words make merchandise of you. Underline the word frayed. You know what that word, where we get our word from in that? Plastic. It means plastic. Fake words. Fake words. With their fake words, they will make merchandise of you. How do they make merchandise of you, you may say? That word means emporium. It goes with the concept of this. This is what it's talking about. Remember Mr. Haney on Green Acres? He'd have his truck all full of stuff, and they'd come here, and everything was on there, and you could buy it. It was an overblown price, and maybe after you left, it would break. False prophets do the same thing. You see what I'm saying? They'll use fake words. They'll tell you fake stories. They'll give you fake things to believe in. But then when they'll go, and you're, guess what? Guess who's left to clean up the mess? Something, like I said, there'll be people there. There'll be people heartbroken. There'll be people whose lives are shattered. Because you know what? They put faith in that guy. They put faith in that person. Jamie will agree with me this morning. Don't you put your faith in me. Don't you put your faith in Jamie. Yeah, we should be above reproach. We should be above it. I'm just here to tell you, we should be. We should be. Me, you, Debbie, Tink, our family should be. And that's hard. And you say, what's that mean? Because people look at us in our communities, in this church, how we live our lives. They look at that and they say, you know what? If the preacher's able to do that, if the preacher's able to be that way, what's the congregation going to do? I believe the congregation will go to the standards of that preacher. Agree with me or not? I'm just here to tell you. I'm just here to say, listen. And he said, with covetousness shall they be frayed words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, for their damnation slumbereth not. There's a verse of Scripture back here. I want to get to it here in just a minute. It talks about the grace of God. And I believe the grace of God is the most important thing that we can have. But I want to talk a little bit about it just as soon as I can find it here. It talks about how not using the grace of God. It talks about not using it. Help me with this. I'm trying to figure this out. The grace of God, we're not supposed to use it as a tool just to do anything we want to. Amen? That's what it says. The grace of God is awesome. I thank God for the grace of God every day, Nancy. I thank it for Him. I thank it for it. But you know what? I just cannot go out here and do anything I want to and expect the grace of God to cover it. Because it will not. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. The grace of God is there whenever we mess up, whenever things happen. I'm thankful, Ron, that the grace of God's there. But you know what? Whenever we think for a minute that we can take the grace of God and do whatever we want to, we are dead wrong. Preachers, teachers, whoever they are, we are dead wrong. Here it is, Jude 4. And I want you to mark this. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying only the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, brothers, just because we've experienced grace doesn't mean we can live like the world. It doesn't mean it. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. And so many times, 2 Corinthians says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Amen. Praise God. Come out from among them. I tell you, I hope and pray that you didn't come to this church to sit down in a nice reclining chair and have a have a cup of drink beside of you and see smoke lights and see lights flashing around and all that manner of thing, because I'm here to tell you, you know what? I want God's word to go out and I want it to be truth to you. Amen. I want it to be truth. I don't want my opinions. I don't want some fad to come through. I don't want that. Jesus Christ had been saving people forever. Forever. Since He died on the cross and He risen, He'd been saving people. Listen, it hasn't changed. These false teachers will try to tell you that there's some new way. It's not no new way. My Bible tells me the only way that you and I can be saved is through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. The only way. And if anybody tries to tell you any different, it can't be overstated, folks. It cannot be overstated. In the latter days, there will be those false teachers will come through. And I like what Jeremiah, let me read it. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of the evildoers. Jamie, if me and you don't live a life in front of the people around us like God expects us to live, I'm here to tell you the people around us will be strengthened, the evildoers and all those will be strengthened to say, listen, this, if that's what they are like, why can't I be like it? That's why it's important. They strengthened also the hands of the Isaiah, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they are led of them are destroyed. There's an old saying, and this is something that I've heard a long time, but listen to it and see if you agree with it. I wrote this down. I said the leaders should always be far enough ahead and close enough to relate. Did you ever hear that? You ever hear that? I've heard that for a long time. If you were a leader, whether it's a leader, Greg, you know it at work. We know it at church. You should be far enough ahead, but you should also be willing to relate to the people that are here. I'm no different than anybody in this church. God's called me to preach. He's called you to do something else. I'm not a bit better than you are. You understand that? It's just my calling. It's just my calling may affect people in a different way than your calling, but your calling will affect people's lives. Amen? It will affect people's lives. Remember that. False prophets shall arise, and we need to take hold, and we need to grab a hold of that and understand it beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we don't, they will come in and they will divide. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but have their own lust, they shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know what sound means, by the way? Underline that word if you get a chance to. It means hygiene. Did you know that? Yeah, when you get down and get the Greek word, sound means hygiene. They will not endure clean doctrine. They won't do it. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear how that they should live their lives. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear none of that. They will not endure clean doctrine. I got to studying this. Man, the Lord has revealed so much to me this week on that stuff. You know that? He has revealed so much to me on that stuff this past week. And as I sat there and I read it, and I looked at it, and God said, and God's just dealing with me. Maybe it was for me. Do you ever think preachers preach themselves? You know that? Did you ever understand it? Preachers preach themselves. But I got a feeling. I got a feeling somebody needed to hear that here this morning. Somebody needed to hear it. I don't want to listen to clean teaching or clean preaching anymore, Greg. I don't want to hear that anymore. You don't think so? You just look around you sometimes. Sheep's clothing. They come and get us home.